It's time for Speak Out 2.0, a locally produced community affairs program for tri-state residents. From Kingman to Bullhead City, Laughlin to Needles and Lake Havasu City, to all the towns in between. Speak Out 2.0 features guests and topics covering politics, nonprofits, entertainment, and information on local events. Speak Out 2.0 is all about you, the KNTR Talk listener. Call in during the show, 702-298-1063. That's 702-298-1063. So turn up the radio. It's time for your host, Larry Tuneforce.
Okay, it's Speak Out 2.0. I'm Larry Tuneforce, your host, live from the Laughlin Mall. And I don't have a horse name. I don't have a horse at all. We are live from the Laughlin Mall, and our guest today is Gene Bishop, who's Mojave County Supervisor, District
4.
4, okay. Paul and I were texting each other yesterday going, what district? I don't know. But our show every day is brought to you by Mojave Shred for secure document protection, Mojave Electric Cooperative, and they have that discount co-op card. Don't forget about that. You want one. And Martin Swanee Hyundai in Kingman, and you can test drive any car on the lot, and especially a brand new Hyundai. And Vaporium of Laughlin, where if you want to quit smoking, they're there to help you. So go see them right across the Golden Nugget. Eugene Williams Consulting here in Laughlin. He wants to help businesses grow. So there's our sponsors. If you want to call in and ask Gene a question, you sure can. It's 702-298-1063. And we'll take your calls. And this is a national Public Safety Telecommunication Week, which is all about the dispatchers and how they come up with Public Telecommunication Week. I don't know. Just call it Happy Dispatcher Week. But and we're going to have somebody in later in the week talking about that. So,
actually, Larry, I'm glad you brought that up because I started my career in law enforcement as a dispatcher.
Did you?
Yeah, back in 1977 with the Kingman Police Department.
Oh, with Kingman PD. Okay.
Yes.
Wow. So, did you, now, if you were dispatching for them, somebody else was giving you the calls, or were you answering, was there 911 in Kingman then?
Back then, there was no 911. We would take the calls, we would dispatch them, and sometimes even write the reports if it was a minor call.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. I know when I joined Bullhead Fire, there was no 911. It was 758-3977, and we had stickers for everybody's phones, you know, so that was the emergency number. And everyone knew that, and then finally 911 came. But even at Bullhead Fire, they eventually hired, under Chief Wagner, three dispatchers that worked there that were on each shift, and they basically were there for the night. They did set up quarters in there and everything, and they were there for the night. So if there was a call in the middle of the night, they would get up and answer it, and then they would dispatch it. And that was before we built the fire department built the 911 center. And eventually we turned it over to the city after 25 years. That was the agreement. And so the dispatch center was in a fire building for 25 years. But then at the end of that 25 years, they got the building. And so, but they dispatch up there in that dispatch center for all the fire departments in the valley, all the way up to Oatman. And then Bullhead PD. I don't think they do any sheriff's dispatching, even though the sheriff's covers all the valley.
Right.
Yeah. So started off as a dispatcher. Wow.
Yeah, started off as a dispatcher, and then as the responsibilities grew, we became communication specialist is what
they
called us.
Yeah.
And then I went into law enforcement, but after that, then 911 dispatching came into play.
Right.
So.
And when you started in law enforcement, you started with the sheriff's office.
I started with KPD, Kingman
Police.
Oh, you
did? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You started with KPD.
Yes.
And then you went to the sheriff's office.
Yes, I went to the academy. I put myself through the academy because
right.
back then it was really hard for women to get it.
Oh, yeah.
Get hired. So I put myself through the academy. Once I got that reserve certification with the Kingman Police Department, Then the sheriff obviously recruited me over because it's expensive to send an officer to the academy.
Exactly.
So I came fully trained and certified through the state of Arizona.
And nowadays, I think all the cities are stealing deputies instead of deputies going from a city to the sheriff's office.
It rotates around.
Yeah.
DPS takes from the city takes from the county takes from DPS, and it's just rotates. You know, law enforcement is law enforcement, and we're all a big family.
Well, and I think in the realm of pay-wise, obviously you're going to make more as a DPS officer, or trooper now they call them, compared to a bullhead police officer. But I think the sheriff is trying to get their wages up a little bit so they compete with the city, so he doesn't lose guys all the time from the sheriff's office to the city.
Well, you know, our governor just promised the state employees, the law enforcement state employees, a $10 an hour raise. So, you know, that sets the mark for everybody else to try to come up to that mark so that their officers aren't going to DPS for that higher pay.
Yeah.
And as soon as the county and the city gets up to that mark, well, then, you
they'll
know,
raise it again. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. We used to do wage surveys at the fire department, and you knew that every two or three years that you were just going to adjust it to the departments that you manage or that you use as a sample, you know. And under Chief Southey, they had some fire departments that were geographically the same size as Bullhead Fire. But then they had some fire departments that were taking as many calls as we did. So they looked at the call volume. And so they had, like I said, several different departments that they used as a scale as what they pay for firefighters, what they pay for office staff, what they pay for PIO, what they pay for mechanics, and so on and so forth. And that just, it changes every two or three years, you know. Boom, boom, they bump it up.
Yeah, and it depends on what department you choose as to how active your service life is and the amount of calls. And, you know, sometimes an officer may want a remote job where it's kind of more laid back and easygoing. And
go up there on the Colorado Strip, huh?
Or Northwest.
Yep.
Up in Dolan Springs and Meadview.
Oh, yeah. You have resident deputies up there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Right now, they're in need of a resident deputy up there. But
I know that a friend of mine was a resident deputy for the sheriff's office, and he was up in Hurricane. And he lived up there and patrolled the strip and took his little blazer home at night, you know.
You know, since we're down in the Bullhead City, I need to share with you, my husband was resident deputy and here in Bullhead before it was a city.
Wow.
They provided him lodging there at Davis Camp, and he lived at Davis Camp and was a solo deputy down here. And I think the justice of the peace was Mrs. Buck.
Oh, yeah?
And he speaks often about how well Mrs. Buck trained him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he tells one story where he... a new young deputy, hadn't been to the academy yet, and he arrested somebody, and Mrs. Buck told him not to worry about what the charge was, that she'd figure that out. So that was back in the early days when you would be hired without going to the academy and just kind of learn on the job. So he's a little older.
Yeah.
He's a little older. He served in a different generation than I did.
Oh, yeah, because that would have been like early 70s then?
Oh, probably 60s. I think he got his first job when he was 21, and that was maybe 1959, 1960.
Okay, wow. All right. So somebody wants to ask you a question here. They want to get off of all this talk. Good afternoon, caller. You're on the air. Hello? Caller? Hello. Now, I heard the call that came in a little while ago from AT&T. I don't know why this guy. Okay. Maybe he changed his mind, or she changed her mind. when I moved here in 80, it was two deputies that covered Bullhead City all the way to Golden Shores, you know. And that was the days. Bill Richardson was sheriff then.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay, so you started off as a deputy sheriff, well, as a KPD, and then you became a deputy sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
What else have you done prior to being a supervisor?
Well, after being a deputy sheriff, I went to work for the Mojave County Parks Department. And
okay.
So I was a park ranger in the Hualapai Mountains and sometimes down here at Davis Camp.
Oh, okay. All right. And they still have those, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Certified officers that are park rangers.
And they're not, but they work for the county, but they're not under the sheriff's office.
No, they're not. They're
okay. So they're under the parks?
Parks Department, and okay. So is the ERASE division, the Environmental Rural Area Cleanup and Enforcement.
Oh, the guys that go out and catch you dumping your trash in the desert.
Yes, and I did that for a while, too.
Did you really?
Yeah, it's wow. Probably my favorite job.
Yeah?
In law enforcement, because...
Driving a four-wheel drive out and looking for people dumping trash.
I did. I had a big Dodge V10. It was lifted. It was a...
Yep.
It's an interesting vehicle. If you got up to a speed of about 55 or 60, it had a front-end wobble that would just scare you to death.
Yeah.
So I didn't have any problem speeding around the county.
And
but
you didn't go in pursuit of anybody, huh?
No.
Yeah.
No, I surely didn't.
So then you went on to be a constable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then from constable, you became supervisor.
Right. I had a friend of mine that was constable that wanted to retire, and she kind of took me under her wings. That was E.B. Blevins.
Okay.
And she was a longtime police officer, so we had a friendship. And she came to me, and she says, I would like you to take my place as constable. So she trained me, and then she retired before the end of her term and asked to have me appointed.
Okay.
And we went up in front of the Board of Supervisors
right.
for me to accept that appointment. And I'll be darned if the sheriff didn't show up and had someone else that he recommended that the board appoint. And so they appointed Dennis Gaddis to take Constable Blevins' place. So.
Oh, okay. So then you had to run for it.
Yes, he served for a year. I ran against him, and I beat him.
Yeah. So then you were constable.
Then I took over as constable right. and was reelected twice.
Yeah.
Was running for my third term as constable when Supervisor Brotherton
passed.
got ill and passed. And so I put in my letter of interest along with several other really well-qualified people. And the Board of Supervisors in their wisdom had a... 2-2 vote. So they didn't have five members.
There was, right.
There was two that said, yes, we want Gene. Two that said, no, we don't. And so the clerk of the board, bless her heart, had to make the vote to break that tie.
So that's how they break a tie when there's only four members.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the clerk works for them, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
put her in a bad position, but you know that's what statute says. Yeah. She's
got to do it.
Got to do it.
All right, Gene. Let us take a break here, and we'll come back, and we'll play a little commercials here to pay for everything.
Okay.
If your business possesses sensitive documents, your compliance partner, Mojave Shred, is here to help. Sensitive information is as seemingly insignificant as a document with a person's name and address. Numerous laws put many businesses at risk of enormous fines and penalties. Mojave Shred provides compliance training and administrative assistance in maintaining high data security standards at no cost to your business. Serving the entire tri-state, Mojave Shred is flexible, affordable, and local. Nationally recognized certified secure destruction specialist. MojaveShred.com.
Meet Kevin.
So, did you fix my car?
All done. Here's your bill.
Kevin saves money on car repairs at the local mechanic.
Thanks, Mike. You take the Co-op Connections card, right?
Saving money is easy with the Co-op Connections card. It's the card that helps you shop local and save with big discounts all over town.
Yep, that'll take 20% off your total.
Best of all, it's free to Co-op members just like Kevin and you.
This message is brought to you by Mojave Electric Cooperative, an equal opportunity employer and provider.
The standard has been set. Now you can drive the 2019 Hyundai Ioniq Hybrid for less than $30,000. The Hyundai Ioniq Hatchback delivers 55 miles per gallon around town. Combine that with one of the world's best warranties and sought-after technology like Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, and a rear-view backup camera. Whether you're looking to save the planet or save money, Martin Swamy Hyundai in Kingman has just the car for you. Hyundai's Ioniq. Visit Martin Swamy Hyundai today. Stockton Hill Road in Kingman and martinswamyhyundai.net.
CBD is becoming one of the most effective pain management products today. Groundbreaking research in CBD has revolutionized the health and wellness industry, and you need to know where to go. The Vaporium of Laughlin now carries a wide array of full-spectrum CBD products. The guys at Vaporium have established a close relationship with their suppliers and do not promote anything less than the best. Safe, effective, backed by lab-tested results. They support only top-brand CBD products. Come meet Ian, your CBD consultant, and see if CBD is right for you. The Vaporium of Laughlin, located across from the Golden Nugget.
There's a bright star on your horizon. It's Star Checking from Horizon Community Bank, and it rewards you month after month. You can earn a rate currently more than 15 times the national average for interest-bearing checking or balance, up to $25,000. Visit the bank that is proud to be locally owned and managed. Visit your local Horizon Community Bank in Havasu, Fort Mojave, Portside, and Parker. For more information about Star Personal Checking Accounts, member FDIC.
Kind of a mellow Tuesday here with JT James Taylor. Speak Out 2.0. I'm Larry Tuenforce, your host, live from the Laughlin Mall. If you come over here and have something to eat, you can come over and tap on the window and say hi to us. We're here in the Speak Out studio. And, of course, the show every day is brought to you by Mojave Shred, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Martin Swanee Hyundai and Kingman, Vaporium of Laughlin, and Eugene Williams Consulting in Laughlin. And if you have a question for Gene regarding the county, you can definitely give us a call at 702-298-1063, kind of like our frequency, 1063. So, Gene, you become county supervisor, and you were the other four had been there a while, so you're the rookie and kind of thrown in the middle of the mix, right?
That's right. Two of the supervisors had been there 2 years. They were the new
right.
supervisors, and then Supervisor Watson had been there for a couple terms, and Supervisor Johnson had been there forever.
Yeah, I think he became supervisor in 1948.
Yeah,
No, at least. I'm just kidding. But he's been there many, many years.
He has. Yeah. I think he's got at least 20 years serving as Lake Havasu
rep. Yep.
District.
So now when you get there, are there classes for supervisors to take that kind of give you an idea how government works, or do you just walk in and go, hi, I'm here?
That's a really good question. The first thing they do is make sure that you have a copy of the open meeting laws.
Oh,
and
yeah.
there's videos that you can take and classes that you can take on that. But that's very important, so you don't want to violate any open
right.
meeting laws. And
well, I know Jim Siborski, when he was county supervisor, and that was a long time ago, he would talk about going to these conferences where they, you know, talk about the roles and responsibilities of supervisors and whatnot. Do you go to those?
Well, we have an organization called the County Supervisors Association, and,
okay.
and supervisors from all 15 counties belong to that, and there's a monthly meeting that we attend.
Oh, okay. All right.
And during those monthly meetings, there's breakout sessions, and there's the speakers, and there's interactions, and then there's three caucus groups that meet, small, medium, and large counties. And
okay.
And
then you go to those, and you get a lot of good information from the breakout sessions and the general sessions. And
yes.
How many times did you go there and steal a bunch of things and come back to Mojave County and go, hey, this is working in Parker County, and this is working in La Paz? And
every month.
Yeah?
Well, I try not to miss these meetings because there's so much information.
And that's just it. That's what it's about. You don't need to reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had Sonny Borelli in here the other day, and he's talking about this the loopholes in the medical marijuana laws.
Yes.
And he's talking about that this group came to him and said, well, why don't you just clone what they're doing in Nevada? And so he said, okay. And so he looked at what Nevada was doing, and he cloned it, and he wrote it that way. Then they came back and said, well, now we want you to do this. He goes, hey, you can't keep just coming back and telling me what to do here. You know, I got to let's get this passed. Because his big problem is that in our state, the medical marijuana people are under the Department of Health Services, and there's for unknown reason, and it says nothing to do with HIPAA, as people will say, oh, it's HIPAA. Well, yeah, okay. HIPAA pertains to the patient, not the business. You know, not the hospital, but the patient in the hospital. But they sit back and say, well, HIPAA law doesn't allow them to tell the Department of Revenue how much marijuana they bought, how much they sold. They just say, here's the money that you get. And they have to say, okay.
Exactly. You know, every law that they pass down at the Capitol or the ordinances that the county passes, they're intertwined with other things. And there's unintended consequences that you may not realize when something sounds like a really good idea.
Exactly.
And then you put it to work, put it into action, and all of a sudden these things come up that you had no idea it would affect. And so then you have to go back and amend and change. And
well, I know, and even like, you know, the state wants to put a roundabout in Fort Mojave.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not heard anybody that's in favor of that. But so I've gone to some of these meetings where they protest that or people speak against it. And in one of the meetings, I spoke and said, well, why didn't you put a roundabout at Hammer Lane? Because it doesn't line up on both sides of the highway. And that would have been a perfect spot for one. Because right now, if you're on each side of the highway, you can only go one direction. You know, now one side of Hammer Lane has a traffic light, but the other one, you can only go south. You cannot go north. You got to go down and hang a U-turn in the middle of a highway. And the guy,
and that's not safe.
I know. And the guy says from ADOT, he says, yeah, we're going to make some modifications there. You just put it in 6 months ago when we were having these meetings. And
job
now you're
going to,
yeah, now you want to make modifications? You guys are the experts. Where were your engineers? You know, so it's frustrating sometimes to stand back and watch that.
It is.
And you probably find it a lot in your position.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, yesterday you tell me about the quarter cent sales tax that was going on.
Okay, so a previous board wrote and approved a quarter cent sales tax that would expire in 20 years. That 20 years expires at the end of this year. And the quarter cent sales tax was designated only for capital improvements, buildings.
Okay.
And the county built several buildings with that quarter cent sales tax.
Over 20 years.
Over
right.
20 years. In fact, the last building that we'll be doing is the new courthouse in Kingman.
Right.
But Buster Johnson brought it back to the board with the idea if we extended this quarter cent sales tax for 1 year, we would still have control over it because it would be during our term. You know, should we not run for re-election or get
right.
re-elected? And we could take that extended year, which would earn about $6-7 million, and we could put that toward building the sheriff's substation.
His dream.
Yes.
That he's working on.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's one of the things that originally was planned for that quarter cent sales tax. So it's on the list of
improvements.
Of improvements. That
it's just the money running out.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's not going to be enough money to do that.
Right.
Plus, we need a morgue, and that was on the list. So the vision was to do one substation between Havasu and Bullhead, somewhere in the middle along Highway 95, and include the morgue. And the only other building that we really feel strongly that it's needed is an animal shelter. So we were going to combine these all together, and it turned out we didn't have enough money.
Right.
Based on estimates. So we narrowed that down to just the substation and the morgue. And then we brought it back to the board, Supervisor Johnson did, to see if there was interest in extending the sales tax for 1 year. And Supervisor Gold did not think that he could support that. So the issue was dropped because it has to be a unanimous vote. And
oh, okay.
And with Supervisor Gold thinking he couldn't support it, there's no sense going forward with any plans further because
did he have his own plan?
He suggested that maybe this should go to the vote of the people rather than the supervisors make that decision because he said that once you do a tax that has a sunset clause on it, that sunset clause needs to be honored. So, and, you know, I don't think Supervisor Gold quite understood the fact that that tax could not be taken to the vote of the people.
Right.
There's some taxes that can, like a jail improvement district or a water district or something like that.
Right.
But an excise tax like this one has to be a unanimous vote of the board.
And if you go back 20 years, was it safe to say that when they proposed that list to go that quarter cent, that the sheriff's office was on that and that, mm-hmm. you know, and the morgue was there?
Yes.
So, you know, when it goes down and you run out of money, you run out of money. And,
yeah. The,
but it's still on the list and still something that you want to try to get accomplished.
And, right? Of course, as the years go on, the cost of building these buildings go up. And
right. Exactly. Yeah.
Please contact okay. Apple support.
This is that call earlier. Call Apple support.
Apple support.
Yeah. I don't know why they think this phone number is for Apple support, but they do. So he doesn't quite understand. He's been a supervisor 6 months, 8 months?
Yeah, not yeah. very long. So he's still learning. He's new. He's very well versed in state legislation, and he kind of references that quite often. You know, he used to be a state senator.
Exactly.
And he reminds us quite often, but it's so different.
Yeah.
At the state capitol, you're making laws, and on the county level, you're enforcing laws. And
right. And you don't get to make laws in the county.
No.
Yeah.
The Board of Supervisors makes policy decisions, and we have to consider what our public wants, and then we have to weigh that with what we can afford.
Right. So now, do you think that the citizens of Mojave County should be, because if we're already paying that quarter cent sales tax now, and it expires, you say, like in December 31st, roughly?
Yes.
Okay. So we're already paying that now, and if you haven't seen the sheriff's office in Havasu or the one in Mojave Valley, you should go look at them, because they're old buildings, and they do need to be replaced. And so, you know, and the morgue right now, you lease, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it's a big metal building.
It is. I was yeah. there once. And this is a metal building in Havasu.
Mm-hmm.
So it's even further away from Kingman and Bullhead. So if you built that new one, was my impression, I believe, that it was going to be right there at the intersection of 95 and 40, where there's
in that area,
gas stations and whatnot there.
Yeah, it may be a little closer to, I think it was milepost 3 or exit 3, but it wasn't exactly right there where that interchange is.
Okay. But there's all power and electric there and water and everything. Well, anyways, okay. So, but it's going to be more centrally located than what the morgue is currently, and the two substations then would go away?
Yes.
Yeah.
They would go away, and you'd have one complex. And that makes sense, because with today's technology, deputy sheriffs have everything they need in their patrol cars.
Right.
They've got their
really
computers.
Do.
They've got...
Yeah.
They don't have to go into the substation to write their reports anymore, to make phone calls.
It's not just a car. It's a rolling office.
Yes.
You know, it really is. I mean, with their computers and everything in there. Now, I should save this for Doug Schuster when he comes back in, but do the deputies wear cameras in Mojave County?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah. I think the sheriff would probably like that, but it's another added expense, and right now he's...
Yeah. Well, and the real expense to that isn't just the camera, it's the data storage and everything
mm-hmm.
that you have to save all that and hang on to it. And so,
yeah, you have to have the technical personnel to
right.
to be able to do all of that. But
that's what I hear. So.
Yeah, there's good and bad in the cameras. I think officers behave better when they're wearing
the
camera.
Oh, sure they do, yeah.
But I also think there's less complaints from the citizens, because they know that it's on video.
Exactly. So you can't make up some story.
Exactly, yeah.
All right. Let us pause for the cause.
National Notary Association member, founder Las Vegas Chamber of Adobe Acrobat User Group, Veterans First Program member, Mr. Eugene Williams is the trusted and reputable source for your business admin. Eugene Williams Consulting is offering unique and solution-oriented support for your business presence in Nevada, way below the standard rate. Eugene provides mail forwarding, free notary public, licensing, posting compliance, Nevada agent registration, and more for just $50 a month. Don't get behind in your business needs and go to EugeneWilliamsConsulting.com.
The standard has been set. Now you can drive the 2019 Hyundai Ioniq Hybrid for less than $30,000. The Hyundai Ioniq Hatchback delivers 55 miles per gallon around town. Combine that with one of the world's best warranties and sought-after technology like Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, and a rear-view backup camera. Whether you're looking to save the planet or save money, Martin Swamy Hyundai in Kingman has just the car for you. Hyundai's Ioniq. Visit Martin Swamy Hyundai today. Stockton Hill Road in Kingman and martinswamyhyundai.net.
If your business possesses sensitive documents, your compliance partner, Mojave Shred, is here to help. Sensitive information is as seemingly insignificant as a document with a person's name and address. Numerous laws put many businesses at risk of enormous fines and penalties. Mojave Shred provides compliance training and administrative assistance in maintaining high data security standards at no cost to your business. Serving the entire tri-state, Mojave Shred is flexible, affordable, and local. Nationally recognized certified secure destruction specialists. MojaveShred.com.
Since 1980, the Apothecary Shop has been Lake Havasu's expert in compounding medications. Whether it's hormone therapy, pain creams, or even veterinary medicines for your dog or cat, the Apothecary Shop treats each patient individually and with care. Transfer your prescriptions and enjoy a more personable relationship with Lake Havasu's only compounded prescription pharmacy. Come see Tony Liska and the Apothecary Shop on Mesquite Avenue, across from the hospital. In Lake Havasu for over 35 years, caring for you and about you.
Meet Jenny.
Honey, we saved over $80 this month on groceries alone.
Jenny saves money at the grocery store using printable coupons from the Co-op Connections program.
Wow, how'd you save all that money?
It's easy with Co-op Connections, the program that helps you save big on groceries and household items with coupons.com.
It's all thanks to Co-op Connections.
And best of all, it's free to Co-op members just like Jenny and you.
This message is brought to you by Mojave Electric Cooperative, an equal opportunity employer and provider.
All our listeners out there, this is Speak Out 2.0 in Laughlin Mall. I'm Larry Tuenforce, your host. And the show every day is brought to you by Mojave Shred, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Martin Swanee Hyundai and Kingman, Vaporium of Laughlin, and Eugene Williams Consulting here in Laughlin. And if you have a question for Gene, you can give us a call, 702-298-1063 or 106.3 or 1063, however you want to say it. So, Gene, we got just about 10 to 15 minutes left here. And when you let me turn down that other microphone over there. There. That's better. Okay. When you're talking about county and responsibilities and roles, when you put together this quarter cent sales tax 20 years ago and didn't finish everything you wanted built, and I'm sure you want to build this building. It's better than paying leasing a building. And the two buildings that you have are currently antiquated big time. The sheriff's office, I've been seeing that down there on 95 for 100 years. So is this going to be the up to the public to convince Ron Gould that maybe this is a good idea? You know, I mean, if only one supervisor is against the concept?
If Ron Gould could be convinced by the public, I would certainly encourage them to write him emails and letters and okay. ask him to reconsider. I think it's very important for Mojave County. I think it's needed, and a quarter of a penny is not...
not a lot of money.
No, it's not a lot of money, and people...
To the average person, yeah.
People aren't going to notice whether it's there or not.
Well,
there and the seven million dollars is going to fix it for the sheriff.
Yeah, and the big thing there is that would be shared also by visitors, right?
Yes,
as a sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody comes in to visit Mojave County, they're going to pay it too.
Yes, we could raise the money by raising property taxes, but that's not a popular thing to do in this county.
No, it's not. It's
so,
not.
So we don't want to punish.
And the visitors don't pay for the property tax.
No. Know?
When my taxes go up at my house, nobody comes to my house and says, here's $20 for your property tax.
No, they
but
don't.
But when the sales tax go up and Californians come in here or snowbirds come here, you know, to visit and hang out or whatever, go to Oatman to visit, they're going to pay that quarter cent sales tax everywhere they go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to think of it as a more of a fair tax, because if you're low income, obviously you're going to be very careful what you spend your dollars on, and you won't be paying that much sales tax if you're frugal in your spending.
Yeah.
If you're more affluent, you're probably going to buy some larger ticket items like vehicles.
Yes, and cars and furniture and whatnot.
Yeah, toys.
So, yeah.
So, yeah. You know, it works out fairer, I think, for the average citizen, because they can kind of monitor and control their own destiny.
Right, right. So that's in limbo right now for a few months?
Actually, right now it's dead in the water.
Oh, okay. So it could be brought back when Ron says it's a good idea?
Yes, Ron could bring it back.
Okay, so he could bring it back. But nobody else could bring it back?
Well, I think any of us could bring it back, but okay. There's really no
point
sense to do that.
Unless it's five. All five agree to
right.
It. So right now you have four agree and one that doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So what other main issues are before the Board of Supervisors right now that are time-consuming or something that's going over a period of time?
Well, right now, building the courthouse, we've done the groundbreaking on it. They have dug up the parking lot, and they're getting ready to lay the foundation on it.
Okay.
So that's going to be a four-story beautiful court building that's going to complement the historical court building that's already there.
Yeah, you don't want to lose that, do you?
No. In fact, I brought a photograph in for it's kind of a conceptual photograph that you can
look at. Oh, so the new one's going to be right next to it.
Yes, it'll
okay.
be the historical courthouse and then the little tiny jail that says, don't speak to the prisoners. That will remain there.
That's what that little building is right there in the middle?
Yes.
Oh, that was like an original jail?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and I'd like to see that made into a law enforcement museum.
Well, that'd be a great idea.
Yeah. And actually,
it's not a jail now.
It's three levels. It has a basement in it, then it's got the main level, and then it has an upstairs. And the metal bars are still in there. And
really?
And there's graffiti on the walls. It's really entertaining to look at the graffiti.
That would be an interesting museum,
right.
You know.
And then there's going to be a walkway from this four-story new building over to the historical building
okay.
so that you can still access it.
Right.
And then on the far left end is the existing Superior Court that they use now, and that's going to be refurbished into the Justice Court.
Okay.
So we'll be moving the Justice Court out of the modular building they're in now.
Oh, that
which was only supposed to be temporary.
Yeah, they'll like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
okay.
So then we'll have all the courts right there in one downtown location.
So when do you see that you're going to break? You see, they've already broke ground. When do you see you're going to cut the ribbon so that the judges can walk in there into their new chambers and sit down and start doing business?
I think it'll be before the end of this term.
So okay.
It'll be toward the end of 2019, 2020, early
okay.
part of 2020.
Early part of 2020. So mm-hmm. in the next 9 months, 10 months.
Right.
Wow.
And then there's more going on there at that same location. The monument there, the World War II monument, is years ago, back in the 60s, one of the rifles disappeared off from that monument.
Huh.
And a group has gotten together and are donating a replica gun to go on the monument, and they're going to clean up the monument. And
oh, okay. That would be nice.
Yeah.
It's interesting what groups get accomplished in Mojave County. I mean, in Bullhead City, it seems like groups get so much done. Rotary, Kiwanis, Elks, Lions, I mean, you name them. They get a lot done. And so, like you said, I mean, we just got this Red Schoolhouse moved to the community park, and then they built a new, because of a donation, the Historical Society was allowed to build a new museum in our park.
Yes.
And so, I mean, everywhere. And I guess you just see that in smaller communities. They probably have volunteers that do stuff like that in Phoenix, but you don't notice it like you do in a smaller community.
Well, I think in the smaller communities, you know the movers and shakers that are out there asking for your donation or
yeah.
your support or yeah. are out there actually doing the grunt work.
So. Exactly. So, I mean, you look at that train that's up there in Kingman. That probably didn't just show up. I mean, somebody had to make that happen, right?
Yeah.
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 So, was your husband? No. he was there then, you know, right?
No, but I can tell you when when I was just a little girl, 5 or 6 years old, I used to go to the Dairy Queen and walk across the street and sit there in that park and eat my ice cream cone. So it's been there.
Well, the train was there then?
It was there then.
Wow. So we're going way back.
We're going back to, well, I can't tell you.
Okay. You don't need to tell us, but you know.
It's been there a very, very long time. Though. The Dairy Queen used to be where that that Thai restaurant is.
Right. I remember when the Dairy Queen was there. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Because you could always stop there and have an ice cream when you're waiting through Kingman.
Mr. Mines was always there with a smile.
Yep. So, but groups, nonprofit groups get a lot accomplished in all of Mojave County. I'm sure there's stuff that goes on up in Hurricane and other areas in Havasu and Kingman that we don't even know about sometimes. But.
Well, actually, there's an interesting group that I'd like to mention, if I might.
Go ahead.
It's a volunteer group that is in Golden Valley called the Cactus Cleaners. Have you heard of them?
I got something yesterday from Paul about them. Tell me about them.
Well, there's a gentleman by the name of Wayne Hollins who moved to Golden Valley and noticed that there's a lot of blight in Mojave County, a lot of illegal dumping in the desert area. And he and his wife apparently liked to go out and look around in the desert, and it offended him, and so he decided he would do something about it. He and some of his friends, associates, started a group called the Cactus Cleaners, and they started cleaning up these illegal dumps in cooperation with the RACE program. And the RACE program provided them free vouchers to take the trash to the landfill.
Oh, okay.
So they used their own vehicles, their own trailers, and manpower to clean up the dumps, and the county then, through a race, would pay the dump fees. And
that's fantastic.
This relationship went on for several years until recently. The supervisors, or actually I, received a complaint from a Golden Valley resident that thought they were working outside of their bounds because they were removing tires from a private property and taking them to the landfill, and the county was allowing them to do it through our recycle program. Uh-huh. At no cost to the county and no cost to the property owner, but because it wasn't on public lands, the complaint was misuse of county funds.
Wow.
And so we had the county attorney take a look at that, and he said, well, you know, it's defensible in court. I don't think anybody did anything wrong, but, you know, maybe we need to tighten up our procedures, and that's what happened. So now when the Cactus Cleaners go out and clean up a property, they have to make sure that it's on public land and it's wildcat dumping and not benefiting any particular property owner. So.
Right.
So that will slow down the progress of the Cactus Cleaners, but it certainly won't stop it. But a lot of emotions going on right now, a lot of drama, a lot of miscommunications, and it's gotten pretty ugly on social media.
Yeah, I'm sure, because you can't take that off of somebody's property.
Right.
If it's on my property, and they decide my cactus is dirty, I don't want them to come take my cactus.
You know, unfortunately, this private property, the owners, the wife passed away. She was a pioneer family there in Golden Valley, but she passed, and then her husband passed maybe a month later.
Yeah.
And so the daughters, the surviving daughters, asked for help from the community, and so the community went and took about, I think it was 800 tires with permission of Erase to the landfill. And
right.
And then the complaint came in and everything stopped.
Because they were helping someone clean up their property, basically.
The county really appreciates those volunteers out there, especially when they're doing good things like that.
Well, I'm sure all their neighbors appreciate that those tires are gone. That's like, there's a place in Fort Mojave, the guy has a whole fence all the way around his house built out of pallets.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm sure he thinks it's the greatest thing on earth.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point in time, somebody in his family's going to go, okay, we got to get rid of these. We got to put up rail fences.
Exactly. What's trash to one person may not be to the next. Yeah. And that's what this family was doing. They used those tires to protect their daughters as they were growing up because they were riding horses.
Ah, okay.
So they put the tires up as a fence to corral the horses. And
tires in those days were probably free, so they could, That's like this guy with the pallets. He probably has an opportunity to get them somewhere, you know. But when you drive by it, you go, "Wow, that's quite interesting," you know.
Yes.
So, but like you say, the one person, you know, believes it's not all that great, and the next person does. So, what's on Gene's wish list for the county?
Well, right now my wish list is to expand the park in Golden Valley. It's called Veterans Park.
Where's that at?
It's off from Verde and Chino, right off the highway. So it's
okay.
It's next to the American Legion, the Black Mountain Elementary School.
Okay, everybody knows where that is in Golden Valley.
And so I'm in the beginning stages of a partnership with Black Mountain Elementary School and Veterans Park, the county park, to bring those two together and expand the park and make it a park that the school can use, their students can use, and bring in some grass, maybe a pickle court, and plant some trees and put some sidewalks in there and make that a beautiful park for the people of Golden Valley. So that's what I'm working on right now, and it's in the beginning stages. So
and that went well for Golden Shores. Golden Shores did that.
I just went to their ribbon cutting, and it was beautiful. There was about 100 people there.
Yeah.
The smell of grass is something that we don't experience in Kingman very often.
We don't experience it at all in Bullhead.
Yeah.
You know.
So they had just freshly mowed the grass, and it just made the aroma just perfect for the event.
So it does work in small communities and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So. And Kaboom, which is a part of Home Depot, they do a lot of those for free. And so you might find a way to get a hold of them. They've done one in Bullhead, and then it was burned up, and then they come back and replaced it. And then they did one at the Boys and Girls Club in Bullhead City. And so you might talk to them, because Golden Valley is right smack in the middle of two Home Depots.
Yes, it is. And, yes, that's an excellent idea.
Yeah, you might talk to them about, because they bring everything in, and the community builds it in one day.
Had a meeting just yesterday with a $3 billion project that's very serious about coming to my district.
Wow.
And they also want to get involved in the community. So that's one way that they may be able to
help out.
To introduce themselves to the community. Maybe,
yep.
Maybe they could get involved in that part.
Do the sidewalks or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of good things that are starting to come to us, you know, through economic development and companies that are identifying the fact that we're right there on I-40 within a day's drive of California. You don't have to live over there anymore. You can have your business here.
Shh, don't tell anybody that in California. We don't need the whole state moving here.
No, no, we don't. But to bring that tax base in and jobs for the people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, once you bring in some good paying jobs, then
and we've seen that with Dot Foods.
Yeah, Dot Foods was a good example.
Exactly. So that's your wish list. How reality will that park be, you think, in the next year or so?
I think it's going to happen.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, Gene, thank you so much for coming in. We've appreciated it. It was your first time here.
Yeah.
And we'll have you back. And anything parting you want to add?
No, just happy Communications Week and law enforcement and
we may have one caller before you go.
All right.
Unless this is Apple again.
We have found some suspicious.
It's Apple again. We got to put a do not call list in on this phone or something. But thank you for coming in, and thank you for driving down from your district. And stop at In-N-Out on your way back and have some lunch.
I will. And I'll drive through Golden Valley, which is in my district, and check on a few things.
Yeah. All right.
Quit smoking now and head to the Vaporium of Laughlin, the premier vape supply shop. With their wide selection of e-liquid to hardware, Vaporium also prides themselves in high-quality customer service and vape shop experience. Try before you buy. Don't have vaping remorse. The members-only program is free to join. Receive coupons, access to sales pricing before the general public, invites to special events, and more. The Vaporium is thanking all our veterans with a special veterans discount. The Vaporium of Laughlin, across from the Golden Nugget.
Meet Walter.
Hey, Doc, got my prescription ready?
Walter saves money at the pharmacy.
Here you go, Walter.
Oh, don't forget my Co-op Connections card.
Saving money is easy with the Co-op Connections card. You can save up to 85% on prescriptions at over 60,000 pharmacies nationwide.
Walter, your Co-op Connections card just saved you 40%.
And best of all, it's free to Co-op members just like Walter and you.
This message is brought to you by Mojave Electric Cooperative, an equal opportunity employer and provider.
Joe saw an old boat for sale on the side of the highway. It looked decent until he saw that nasty-looking interior. Joe made a lower-than-asking price offer, and he got the boat. He took it to the upholstery shop in Bullhead City. They did the carpet, engine cover, seats, and rails inside the boat look like new. In just a few days, the boat's value increased right along with Joe's ego. Take it to Dave Miner at the upholstery shop. Highway 95 across from Carl's Jr. in Bullhead City. It's worth the drive.
The stores and outlets inside the Laughlin Outlet Center offer savings of up to 70% off every day. Up to 70% off the brand name things you really want. Take in a new release at the Stadium 9 Cinema. There's something for everyone at the Laughlin Outlet Center. I'll see you there on Casino Drive, Laughlin.
The Laughlin Outlet Center, the peaceful value and style.
Eugene Williams Consulting brought to compliance with the state of Nevada along the river properties, Desert Sun Plumbing, Allen Shore Painting, and U.S. Southwest LLC, just to name a few. Thanks to Eugene, you too can comply with the Clark County legal posting requirement for your business license. Don't have an office in Nevada but still do business here? Eugene has you covered. Eugene Williams Consulting provides you with a Nevada registered agent and the means to get licensed in Nevada. Don't risk doing business in Nevada without it. It's against the law. Call Eugene now, 702-299.
This is Herb from Herb's Herbs. We need to raise the bar on our choices in life. Life is a gift, and we need to take care of ourselves. Take charge of your health at Herb's Herbs. The knowledgeable and experienced staff at Herb's Herbs will guide you in the right direction to ensure you get healthier this year. Herb's Herbs has the largest selection of supplements in the area. We also carry organic produce, keto products. Oh, and don't forget our organic juice bar, the best. You will always save at Herb's Herbs, Main Street, Lake Havasu.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina.
And we thank Gene Bishop for coming in today on Speak Up 2.0. Larry Toonforce, the show again is brought to you by Mojave Shred, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Martin Swanee Hyundai and Kingman, Vaporium of Laughlin, and Eugene Williams Consulting. Let's take a look at our community calendar. We got about 2 minutes to go here. And we got a blood drive on the 16th at Laughlin Library from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. You can call 877-827-4376 if you have any questions. There's a Food Coalition Project Forum going on in the Bullhead Library, and that is on the 17th from 3 to 4:30. Call 758-7689 if you have questions. And, of course, this weekend there's so much going on with the Easter. So let's start with a free pancake breakfast put on by the Morning Kiwanis Club at the Hope United Methodist Church. That'll be from 7 to 10 a.m. Any questions, call Sabrina, 542-7523. The Elks have an Easter hunt at Dean Hackett Park, deep down in River Bend, at 9 a.m. You have any questions, call 758-2408. And then, of course, the noon Kiwanis Club have a huge, and I mean huge, Colorado River Kiwanis Club has a huge Easter egg hunt at Davis Camp for ages 0 to 10, and that happens at noon on Sunday. So just some of the things going on. Tomorrow we have, we have Scott Gilman coming in from the Bullhead City Police Department and also Chris Ellis. Everybody have a great Tuesday, and we'll see you tomorrow. JT, take it away.
The voice of the free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.